on today's Compassion Radio.
She came in, she gave me this bracelet, which is the colors of the Ukrainian flag. It's gold and blue. She told the people, you know, I lost my brother in Mariupol. Our homes are destroyed. I don't even know where my dad is on the front line somewhere. He's 60 years old. And she said, don't feed your fear, feed your faith.
Yeah.
Jesus is still the answer. She's telling these displaced people in Burma. And at that point, I realized, oh, I could go to Ukraine. And she said, please come. It'll be an exchange of love and unity of two oppressed peoples together under God. And so we went.
Some of the most important kingdom stories to be told began with someone saying to God, I will go, send me. Dave Eubank from the Free Burma Rangers is Exhibit A in the 21st century. He, his family, and hundreds of courageous volunteers answer God's call to go where no one in their right minds should probably go, right into no man's land during live firefights. To some, the Eubanks have something broken in the head to do such things. To others, the Eubanks are prime examples of what happens when God breaks your heart for the lost and suffering. And boy, have they seen a lot of it in the past few decades. With their unique skills and God fortitude, they keep going, keep rescuing, keep saving, and keep keeping hope alive for millions. They're God's kind of crazy, and we're crazy about them. On this last segment of my interview with him, we dig deep into the limits of human endurance and obedience to God's unreasonable passion for his children. Thanks for joining us today.
I worship a God who came to save me, who hesitated to. If Jesus can look at the cross and draw back from that to the point where his own blood vessels are bursting and weeping, it's okay to have doubts. I marvel at a God who looked up to David Eubank in the future and said, he needs me to get through this.
I never thought of that. Thank you. Whew. So you asked about the kids. You know, the kids were all there in that battle. They weren't in the front line. And since the kids were born, we had to decide if we could take them with us or not. Because all the ethnics, as soon as my kids were born, we already been in Burma for 7 years. They know, everybody knows this. And they had their kids there too. And they're like, you have kids now? Bring them to uncle, bring them to auntie, bring them to grandmother. That's what they call our kids. Karen and I were discussing, okay, we have this newborn coming. We take them to Burma, they could die of malaria, you know, boat accident, get shot, get bombed. What are we thinking as parents? And Karen said, we shouldn't be led by all the bad things that could happen. We Right. should be led by the good things that are happening. Yes. And the good things are happening. We have a child to live together. We have ethnic people in Burma who will love this child and want to see this child. That's sure. The other Yeah. things are just maybes. And so we pray about every decision. We don't want to be led by pride, Mm-hmm. by comfort, or by fear. And we go in those opportunities. We try our best to take care of our children. And thank God they're all three alive. They've had malaria, typhus, typhoid, diseases. They've all been shot at, Yeah. all these things. None of us get out of this world alive. So it isn't a matter of trying to preserve yourself. It's a matter of serving God, surrendering even your children to him, and then doing your best to preserve them in that. And Yeah. so I thank God that our kids are alive. I've never taken them purposely where I thought they're going to get hurt, ever,
Right.
ever.
Right.
Now, things happen around us, but if I know they're going to ambush this road, I'm not going to take my kids there. I'm going to go another way. I thank God they're alive. And they've learned the most important lessons of life, which is surrender to Jesus. Don't surrender Yeah. to something else. And love each other and forgive each other and make this world with God's help the best you can while you're on it. And don't throw your life away.
Yep. Whether I live or whether I die in all this, Christ, real life right there. Dave, do you have enough time to explore with me what's going to come up in Ukraine next? You
don't? Yeah, that would be perfect.
Getting on this thing, I've had some time spent in Ukraine. I have dear friends that are on the front lines, and we correspond constantly. And I've sent material and other things to the front lines through these people that have put together their own medical service. And some of that was based on the conversations he and I had back in 2017 about Free Burma Rangers. And he took that to heart when he couldn't figure out how to save more of his friends when he almost died on a bridge in Kyiv during the early assault. He was a pastor. He didn't want to be just a killer. He knew he had to do something because he saw too many people dying around him. And he had to crawl his way off that bridge himself because no one was there to drag him out. And God said, you be that person. And he spent years now doing that very thing.
Wow.
So I'm on signal with him every other day or so just to buck him up and to hear the stories. So your legacy is already paving the way for others who don't even realize how much you're affecting them to do the thing, to run to the front, to hear the bombs go off and run toward them. I know the entire nation of Ukraine is kind of in that mode now. They're following your example because of necessity. If they don't run towards it, they're going to lose all of it. And they know that. You're about to go step into it again. I want to know why. And I want to know what you're going to do. And I'm sure there are operational things or locations you can't talk about. But we will be praying for you no matter what. But I want to learn as much as I can so we can pray over you while you're there. Lead me into it. How are you going and why are you going to Ukraine this time?
Well, first of all, I'd love to meet your friend. You can give him my contacts.
I will.
If it works out, I'd love to meet him.
You would love this man.
Yeah, I'm sure I would. Mm. We're going to Ukraine out of love and out of obedience to God. We felt God's assurance and call to go there and out of a promise that we made last time I was there. So when Ukraine was invaded in 2022, February the 24th, invaded the second or third time, you know, because for me, it was taken 2014, but in the most recent invasion by the Russians in 2022, February the 24th, that day I was in Kearney State. Burma Army's launched a big attack, ground attack, as well as air. Many dead and wounded, and we're evacuating them. And we're the last people out of this village. I was making sure we got all the wounded out with my team, and suddenly an airplane. And the Burma Army is about 700 yards. I could see him because it was all, like, flat ground in the village. And the road went way out, and I could see it. And I could see Burma Army firing, maneuvering towards us, about 700 yards. So it means you have some minutes to get away. And then all of a sudden, right above us comes a jet fighter. Multiple bombing passes. One of my guys wounded, one of them killed. I was wounded. I'm dragging the dead body, trying to get his body out of the fight for his family. That was a whole nother situation. That went on all day. And at the end of that day, got the body out, almost killed. Then went back to the front, another front to get other people out. It was just all into the night. And then when I got back to our little base that night, the little village that wasn't blown up, I heard about the invasion of Ukraine. And then right away, people are saying, Dave, Freedom Rangers should come to Ukraine. And I said, no way. Yeah. Nobody's helping here. I'm in Burma. 75 years of war. I got my dead buddy here. I just drug him. I was wounded myself. Other guys wounded. I'm not going to go over there. Nobody helps here. And I was glad people were going to help in Ukraine. Of course.
You take care of Europe. I'll take care of Asia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'm not just going to go chase the shiny thing. And if you remember, in those early days, everybody was for the Ukrainians. Money, Ukrainian flags everywhere, Congress talking, everybody piling on NATO, billions of dollars. I think the first couple of years, $70 billion each year between NATO and the U.S. The U.S. gave about two-thirds of that, or over half, which I'm really glad. I really am. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't in my heart, it's just in my head. I'm glad you guys get me help. That's great. But I've got to stay here because nobody's helping here. They're equally important. But no, not nobody. There's other great mission people doing things in Burma, but there's not much help. And then in the next year, 2023, a young lady named Julia came from Ukraine. She was dating one of my volunteers named Kingsley. And she said, I want to go to Burma. You want to go to Burma? Why? Because I want to tell the people, I'm sorry, we never cared about you. Now we know what it's like to be invaded. Yeah. And it really touched my heart. She came in. She gave me this bracelet, which is the colors of the Ukrainian flag. It's gold and blue. I never wear bracelets in my life, but I'm just wearing this one. She came in and she told the people, you know, I lost my brother in Mariupol. Our homes are destroyed. I don't even know where my dad is on the front line somewhere. He's 60 years old. He's not a soldier. Now he is one. My mom and I pray and cry ourselves to sleep in the western part of the country every night. And she said, don't feed your fear, feed your faith.
Yeah.
Jesus is still the answer. She's telling these displaced people in Burma. And at that point, I realized, oh, we could do that. I could go to Ukraine and do that. Yeah. And she said, please come. And so because of that, her example, her coming to Burma, I thought, okay, then what us from Burma will go to Ukraine. It'll be an exchange of love and unity of two oppressed peoples together under God. And so we went. And when I went, one of the first people I met was a policeman named Sergey from Kramatorsk out in the eastern part of the country, relatively close to the front line now, near Bakhmut. And it's still held completely by Ukrainians. I met him, and right away I said, I love you. I'm glad to meet you. We're very small. And I found out his wife was killed the first week of the invasion.
Wow.
Captured by the Russians and killed while he was doing his job. And he lives with that. He actually evacuated her to a safe place, but she was ambushed on the way. So I go back for him. I go back because I told him, we're small. Our main job is Burma. We handed out generators to help light up one part of Kramatorsk because they lost their power. We gave money for two used vehicles they could use for ambulances. We worked with a couple other organizations, Joseph Biancali, and John Gerlach and others. It's like the Alliance for Freedom for Ukraine. I'm butchering it. Anyways, this is terrible. Anyway, they're awesome. And we'd worked together earlier about when Afghanistan fell. That's how I got to know them. They're there doing wonderful work. With their help, because they do a lot more than we do, we put in plastic windows in a little town called Nevsky, which is now completely flattened by the Russians. Mm-hmm. So we do these small physical things, generators, windows, vehicle, a few things like that, and pray. And then we worked with the chaplains. And when there wasn't in a fighting area, our medics, Ilya was there with his two kids from Burma, his two Karen kids from Burma, and Ilya were there with my family. It was a family reunion in Ukraine.
Yeah. You have them where you go, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. My whole family was with me, Ilya and his sons. Ilya's the first Ranger. We started together almost 30 years ago. And then Sky and Chuck Holton is a wonderful Christian journalist, works for CBN and others. Mm-hmm. He was there with us all together, giving medical training to the policemen and other people at the front, needle decompressions, chest seals, tourniquets, all that kind of stuff. That's all very small. So we're going back to keep a promise that we'd come back. That's really the main thing. And second is to help in whatever physical, whatever money we get, we're going to share with them. And whatever we can to work with the chaplains and pray with them and people anywhere, whether it's the front line, the back or the middle, to meet Sergey again and try to help him. And then come back and tell their story. I don't have that many friends in D.C., but by God's grace and some good friends in Texas named the Stallings, I met Ted Cruz last time and Mike McCall, who is a Foreign Relations Committee chair. Now it's Brian Mast, Brian Babin, and others. And they said, Dave, please help us tell the Americans about the need to help Ukrainians. And so I thought, okay, so that's another purpose, is to come back and say, hey, these people are still alive. They're our friends. They're getting hammered. Please help them. That's why we're going.
Okay. So you're walking in the paths of kings in order to live and love the kingdom that you know so well on the ground.
Yes.
We will pray for that and pray for opportunity.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this. And if you don't mind me saying so now, I hope this short message will stick with you as well. For you are essential to the mission of Compassion Radio. We truly cannot do it without you. Just call today with your gift and consider making it monthly. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. And now, back to our discussion.
We will pray for that and pray for opportunity.
Thank you.
For a deepening of friendships and that you will literally have that protection bubble over you where the...
We need it worse than ever there now. So, yeah, thanks for the protection prayer.
We'll keep it up. Is it okay to ask how long you'll be there?
Yeah. It's just very short, just 2 weeks. Okay. That's all. Very short trip. I don't know where all we're going. We're going where we're needed, from Kyiv out to the east, anywhere that we can be useful.
Okay. Well, if we don't have a chance to actually exchange information and time, my contact and my dear friend over there is Oleg Magdich.
Okay.
His team is rotating with other volunteer groups that go out there and do the Red Cross services at the front lines. And he's also building a retreat center for veterans out west, the Carpathia Mountains, past Lviv, retreat and restoration center that they're going to be doing his ministry going forward. His wife, Oksana, has been the director of Christian camping in Ukraine for the past 30 years.
Wow.
So she's constantly dealing with refugees and stuff to use the camps for those purposes and coordinating that kind of refugee internal displacement issues and also preparing the way for the next generation of Christian camping, dealing with the restoration work of broken souls for the next generation. So they're fully committed.
Please connect me. I'd love to be in touch and see him. And if we could help him, we will. You know, more likely he'll help us. I'd love to meet him.
Okay, I will do that. If you have a few more minutes, I ask you this every time we talk. What's the message that God's got right at the tip of your lips now that we need to hear? If you had the world's platform and said, I need to say this one thing to the world right now, what is it?
Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Just as we want and need forgiveness, so do other people. And when you can't forgive, just ask Jesus. Just say, I can't do it, Lord. I want to do it, though. Please help me. And he will help you forgive. In the Lord's Prayer, the disciples asked Jesus, how do you pray? And he told them. Yeah. And right there it says, in the middle of the prayer, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive. Wow. That's a contract. That's a deal. That's one thing then the other. You can't just say, forgive me and not forgive the others. And never in my life, when I've done wrong, have I said to someone, yeah, just punish me a lot. It's always, I want mercy. You know, I'm not driving too fast. Tell the police, but hey, why don't you double the fine? Yeah, why don't you just fine me? I feel really bad about this. No, you say, I feel really bad. Can you have mercy?
But doesn't shame do that a lot? We talked about that earlier in the program, that shame does that counterintuitive thing. It like right. demands a prison sentence where God has already unlocked the shackles.
Right. And so forgive each other. Forgiveness is giving up the right to revenge. Of course you have the right to revenge, but there's no good in that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main thing to me is ask for Jesus' forgiveness and give forgiveness.
You're seeing these applications all around you. You see people's lives, they tell you where they are, and they get mystified by the story you tell them because it's so far outside their own personal experience, they think. So give me an application point of that. If you're standing in front of somebody in a small church in Texas and you're just connecting with them and they finally discover who you really are and what your family's really about, they say, wow, which everybody does, of course. And they don't seem like it connects with this reality for them. What's the application for somebody who's lived a, quote, simple and normal life in some small town in America that's never been exposed to the kind of trauma and torment that goes with watching one of your own friends die in your lap, that God gave you that awesome and horrible privilege of being present for that kind of passing into glory? They will probably never see that. How do you connect with them and say, this is what mercy and grace and forgiveness means for you and where you live in your experience?
Well, I was just in a rodeo and a judge made a bad call and disqualifies a rider. In rodeo, there's no second down, third down. You get one shot at that. That night, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And you're mad and you're right to be mad. It was a bad call. And the other guy comes up and goes, that was a terrible call. Really sorry that happened. Try again next week or next month or next year or never. And you're mad and you're right to be mad. It was a bad call. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? That's a really tough one because they're wrong and you're right. You're going to hold it or are you going to forgive them? I think that kind of injustice, and that's a rodeo level, it can go to any level. They're all hurt, is only gotten rid of by God's power. And so you say, that was a terrible call. What do you get to talk to him face to face or in your heart? That was a terrible call. It's always going to be wrong, but I forgive you. I release it. I release it. It's not my God. Even justice is not my God. God is God above justice, above mercy. And I need mercy too. I'm also not perfect. I've also made bad calls in my life. And so I want forgiveness for my bad calls. I'm going to give forgiveness. And to me, that's not just an act of will. It's an act of will to say it. But when you say it and say, Jesus, help me, he will give you the power. That will become true. It may take a while, but it'll become true. So that's one. I just saw that happen just recently. Now my daughter's graduated from Texas A&M. Now she's in Texas Tech Vet School. There's people that didn't get in and wonder, why did this person get in? You know, my daughter didn't get in last go round. She wasn't accepted. And she's like, God, I prayed, I tried. You know, why did they do that? I don't know. So I think we all have, whether it's in business or our marriage, our wife or our husband didn't say the right thing or do the right thing. Those are the deepest levels of forgiveness. And you don't have to be in any war to feel that.
It seems like the real forgiveness, the kind that comes from Jesus, is the kind that lets you go right back into the same room with the person you really don't want to be with at that moment and live life with them, you know?
Yeah. Well, wow. Yeah. So you go back the next night before the rodeo, the judge is there with a little flag. He's watching it. Did you break the barrier coming out? You know, did you tie it off right? Did you dally? Whatever. Did you really ride all 8 seconds? You know, when did you stop the stopwatch? Whatever. And you go up to him before and say, I'm praying for you. Thanks for being a judge. And God bless you. Whatever God has you say, that is, you have to choke those words out. But there's some freedom when you do it. There really is some freedom when you do it. You're no longer bound by their decision. You're not under their bad decision anymore. You're above it with God.
And you're not living under the shadow of the memory that you have allowed to own right. you, even when they moved on.
Right.
Well, what you're saying, too, I think, about forgiveness is that it has eternal consequences to forgive or to not forgive, and they really affect our heart and soul and people around us forever. Whether it seems like it's a small thing, small injustice, or a ticket that should have been given to your kid when they didn't run that stop sign,
right?
Or you're facing genocide like you face on a regular basis. There's really no comparison of these things because whatever's going to affect you and keep you from following Jesus to the next step is the thing that is most important for you right now. And it does not compute that you should not pay attention to it just because Dave Eubank has a tough life. You know, all of this for me is something that you have lived an exemplary example on these things, and you keep encouraging people to aspire to something that's better, to a Jesus that really does transform us. Like, David, you're a true friend.
Thank you. Even though I haven't met you face to face.
Bless you for all that. Thank you for the information you've given me. And of course, the heart of the gospel alive. You remind me when we talk that all is not lost when we've been getting sucked down so many political holes, not just in America, but around the world. You and I both see freedom rolling back in so many countries because there's so much resurgent authoritarianism that just kills me because I know you're in the middle of defeating one big one right there in Burma. So I'm praying for freedom to become a light there. Like my friend John Podiety at Bibles for the World out of Manipur, the kind of people they keep sending out wave after wave to see the world liberated.
John Podiety? He's also my friend.
I love the man. I may be working with him a lot
closer. I met him in Colorado.
I know we're tied into a very entrepreneurial sliver of Christendom here that has always been on the cutting edge. I'm just grateful for that. And no, I haven't had to go or be as ambitious with my sacrifice as you have, but I have a deep love for all that God's doing through you and through people like you. And that God will expand your tent big time. I keep praying that.
Thank you.
So, can you talk to me when you get out of Ukraine and heading wherever you're going next?
From Ukraine, I'll be in Texas for 1 week putting my son Peter into school. Pete's Sailor going with me. I'll be back in Texas 1 week. I'll give you a call after Ukraine. Then we're back
to marvelous. I would love to hear a report coming out of there. My best contact here has been raising funds for Ukraine project called Serve Ukraine and Music Works, working out of the Ukraine Evangelical Theological Seminary where we met back in 2017. He just had a major stroke right after I left visiting with him in Nashville because we're planning some things for broadcast together. And it just crushed me. I mean, I was on the cusp of the next thing that God said, do this thing. And the best person to mentor me and to encourage me and be my partner in this was him. I go and sit at his table for 3 weeks and we make the plans. And as I leave, down he goes. He's still struggling to get out of rehab. I'm grieving that because like, God keeps saying, go at this thing, keep pursuing it. Every time we get that very threshold, like you talk about the villages you don't get to, the ones you keep going to, but you never quite reach there. I feel like that. I don't want to stop, and Sandy and I don't want to stop doing this work either. So I think about you finding whatever the victory is as God defines it every time you go. I'm with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. Please give my love to your family, too. And I'll be thinking about Sahali as I'm sailing up Lake Chelan next time, because I know my daughter and I want to get up there and do some more climbing.
It's so pretty. It's so pretty.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, love you, brother. Thank you for your time.
Well, Lord, and bless and heal Bram's friend with a stroke. Complete recovery, please, and guide us into Ukraine. Bless everyone listening to this program. Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hopefully we'll talk together soon. Please be safe as God gives it to you.
Thanks. I'll report.
Amen. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. What kind of love is this? The cries alone. The taste of death to bring me home. Oh, oh, I want to know what kind of love.
That's what this love is, yeah. God's love is
As these programs go to air, Dave, his family, and a team of volunteers are embedded at the front lines of the Ukraine war, looking for ways to save lives, support those who do, and speak courage and grace into the suffering church there. Please keep them in your prayers, and thank you for supporting this ministry so that we can keep you informed and at the very center of kingdom action around the world. We can't do it without you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.